I'm Kira Limer. I'm 27 years old. Today is November 26, 2010, the National Day of Listening. And we are in Hanacroy, New York, at my parents' house. And I am interviewing my mother, Therese M. Limer.
I'm Therese Limer. I'm 62 years old. This is November 26, 2010, the National Day of Listening. And we're doing this in our home in Hanacroy, New York. And the interviewer is my daughter.
So, Mom, first of all, I'd like to hear you describe yourself. I think this is a really good way to start the interview.
Wow. Well, I'm kind of a mishmash. I have like talents that I've been trying to use throughout my life. Writing as a journalist, singing as a jazz singer. And I have a lot of concerns that I express through nonprofits that I either volunteer for or work for, such as the Greene County Council on the Arts, where I now work. And I love the outdoors. It's part of my soul. And so are my children, who are like so important to me. We waited longer than we wanted to have children. And so they're very special to us and to me.
Oh, that's really nice. I think one of the things that I've gotten from you is the love of the outdoors. Also, I would say it's part of my soul, too, if I would express it in those words. But you said you have a lot of concerns. What do you mean by that?
Actually, concerns might not have been the right word. I just feel a responsibility to be a part of a community, even if I'm not living in a community. Right now, we don't live in a village or a hamlet or any place that I would call a community. But in my heart, I feel like I'm part of a larger community and in the area that I live in, and that is Greene County. And so I've always felt it was important to work toward things that make life in this county worthwhile, such as the Greene County Historical Society, where I was a trustee for 7 years, and for which I still run the major fundraiser, and the conservancy that my husband and I are part of, and the Green Land Trust, which we're just starting to work with, to bring more awareness to the fact that even though we're a very rural county, there's a lot that needs to be done to provide open space and secure open space for the future, and try to bring opportunities to young people and people of all ages to be out in nature and enjoy the beautiful world that we have. And I feel responsible to like help promote those things.
That's so cool that you guys are a part of all those organizations, that you're doing these things for the area. What are you most proud of that you've done with that stuff?
Well, I have to say it's the homes tours that I do for the Greene County Historical Society. They are just our signature event. We hold it once a year, and each year we go to a different community and feature the historic homes in that area. And it's not just that I'm proud of them, because it is a tremendous amount of like coordination and, you know, that I'm proud of, that I can do that. But it's the wonderfulness of getting to know the owners of these buildings in each of these communities, getting to know the community, having the inside story on how these homes have been preserved, and just participating with the owners of these homes in their pride in what they've done, and their concern that these buildings that many times were in terrible shape when they took them over have now been preserved for the future, and they want to share that. I mean, we actually bring about 400 people through these private homes in one day, and these wonderful people volunteer for this. They say yes, they want to show off the place they've worked so hard to preserve. So that's just a real upper every year, even though it's a lot of work.
I know you have a lot of fun doing it too, even though it's a lot of work. And I've participated a little bit. One year I helped you with it, and I had a lot of fun, more than I expected, because I wasn't really sure. It does seem sort of strange to bring crowds of people through someone's home, even if it's a really beautiful home. But I just think it's such a great thing to do. I hope you keep doing it. Are you planning to?
Yes. Well, they twisted my arm again because I was going to take a break. And they said, oh, they weren't going to do it if I wasn't going to.
That's really flattering.
Yeah, well, they don't know anybody else who would take on this much responsibility. But yeah, every year when I say, oh, I just can't possibly do another one, it's so demanding and I have a full-time job. I just remember how much fun it is to get to know all these people, and it just starts to get me entranced again. So, and this year we are going to be in our home township, which is New Baltimore, and so that should be an especially nice event.
Are you going to show your house?
No, we can't really. We're too far out of a loop that you would use for something like this. You have to consider the route that you're taking people on and the limited amount of time they have to get from start to finish of the tour. So usually the loops that we create for them to drive to, I time them, and I have to know that this is doable. We usually put 10 places on the tour, and that's a lot for people to travel to. And so we're too far out of the loop.
Right.
But I'm sure that a lot of our friends who are part of the Conservancy are going to be putting their homes on, which will be very nice.
That's great. Have you made friends with people that you didn't know before through doing this?
Oh, absolutely. And, of all ages and all types of people. Several years ago when we did a tour along the Hudson River for the quadricentennial, we got some absolutely marvelous historic homes, but we always try to include one that is a modern home just for the fun of it. And the one we got in that year was built on the footprint of an old farmhouse, but it had been completely rebuilt as a modern paradise for these people who come from, I think, New York City, and who can actually bring their boat up into the bay where that home is and dock it right there and walk up to their
house.
And they just made it a real paradise. And it was just some people's favorite home on the tour because it was such an eye-opener. And these were people who had everything done for them. All the work was done for them instead of them doing the work. But they were very congenial and, they're wealthy people, just very open to everyone and willing to let, everybody just tromp through their place with their shoes off. And, it was a terrific experience and not the normal for what we do, because most of the people that we deal with have done the work themselves, are still in progress doing the work. So it was a whole nother way of life and it was fun.
So these were wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
It was a couple, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they doctors, both of them, I think, retired. It was really, you feel as though you did make a friend by the time you get done taking pictures of the house, talking with them about what points they'd like to feature in the brochure that we make. And, they have little concerns about, well, what about this and what about that? So I spend a lot of time with the homeowners and I get to know them pretty well. And it really has broaden my horizons tremendously. And you know, if I see those people at an event or something, it's always like, oh, yeah, how you doing? So good to see you, you know. So it's really fun.
That's great. And it sounds like that creates a community for you that isn't quite location-based. It's all local, but it's not necessarily people that live right next to you, but you end up feeling like you have neighbors all over the place.
Yeah, it's a network. It's a network community rather than a physical community. And I think that maybe eventually as Will and I get older, like 70s or something, that we may want to actually live in a village and be able to walk to things, a library and cultural events. But right now, we love our property so much. We love being out in the country so much that I don't think we could sacrifice that in order to live in a more crowded setting.
Right. Well, so let's talk a little bit about your house and your property. We spent such a long time as a family looking for a new house. I feel like we spent most of my childhood looking at houses, and you finally found this one, and you've been working on it ever since. How are you feeling about it now?
Well, actually, the whole thing has been an adventure, and the part of looking for homes, even though sometimes it was frustrating.
I thought it was really fun.
It was an adventure. It was an adventure. And we did look for 8 years, so you're correct. It was a large part of your growing up. And the adventure, of course, didn't stop with actually finding the property, because this was a very downtrodden property. It had been used as a camp for 50 years, even though it is an old farmhouse that dates back as far as 1850 for one portion of the house and 1875 for the other portion. And that was an adventure too. I mean, I think anybody that's taken on one of these projects has to have a sense of adventure in order to do it. It needed to be completely cleaned out because it had been all paneled and all of the original woodwork had been taken off, which is a heartbreak, but we were able to reproduce some of it. And it was peeling back the layers to the post and beam construction of the house was a tremendous adventure. And then thinking through all the iterations that this house has gone through, what part of it, where do we restore it to? That was very interesting. And the fact that it had been quite so muddled allowed us the freedom to remake the room structure the way we would like it, and not feel as we would have with a more well taken care of historic home that we had to preserve it exactly the way it was. So it's still a project. I'm still painting and restoring the woodwork. But as my builder says, I have many years to finish it. Don't worry about that. Don't try to get it all done at once. So it is a project and an adventure still.
Will you ever feel like it's done?
I don't think so. I don't think anybody does. All the people I've talked with in all of these historic homes that we show for the homes tour, they do get to a point, but it can take 20 years. I talked with one man who had been working 20 years to bring his home to where he felt enough that it was done to show it. That included sometimes when he had done something and then said, no, that wasn't right, and went back and redid it to make it right. So it is, I think, a process more than something that has a completion date. Or I do feel, though, as though we've turned past the center point of the whole project and we're on the other side, because we've gotten most of the major work done, and it just was repainted, which just makes it feel fresh and beautiful again. And so, you know, we have our little schedule of things that still need to be done, and we'll just be doing them as we go. And it is coming together and feeling really good. And it's a wonderful place that my children can come back to and feel that there's room for them and that there's a welcome here, that they don't have to stay in a hotel. I never wanted that. I always wanted to have a place big enough so that they could feel this was still their home, even though they don't have this as the home that they live in most of the time. So that was one of my goals in doing this with this house.
Well, I think you've definitely accomplished that, because I've never actually lived here as my real home. I've lived here for, I think the longest was like 3 months or so. Oh, maybe a little bit longer, maybe like 5 months. But when I come back here, I feel so at home and relaxed. It's really a welcoming place that you've created. Do you want to, I know when I asked you earlier what you felt most thankful for about Thanksgiving, you mentioned a sense of home. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. I think that dates way back into my childhood. We had 5 children in the family. We didn't have much money, but we owned this big former inn on Eastern Long Island before it became really swanky to live there. It had
East Quogue, right?
Yes. Yeah, it had a life of its own. That's the only way I can describe it. It was an entity, a gracious, beautiful building. And I got my sense, I think, of wanting to be in that kind of setting from growing up in that house. Even though we only used the first floor of it, it was huge, and we rented the top floor to I think there were 3 apartments up there. It's still the graciousness of that home and the grounds around it with roses and honeysuckle and lilac trees. It just set the scene for me to want that as I became an adult. And I think that just is a special thing to me. I was given the opportunity to travel as a musician, and I've never regretted that I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to be on the road. I didn't want to be living in temporary housing for most of my life. I wanted to be where I could dig roots down and feel as though I was part of
a place,
the land, the community. So that's home to me, means all of those things, not just the house, but the setting, the land, the animals and birds that come to know that they live here too. And really, because we live in such a rural area, it's almost as though we're just a little blip in their world. They use our yard, the foxes use our yard as a little thoroughfare to go from one wetland to the other, and sometimes sit on the hill above the house and just look down at us as if we're kind of like, well, aren't they interesting? You know, I guess we can tolerate them.
Just another creature out in the...
They're not too much in our way. I guess we can put up with them. And, you know, the coyotes that howl and run down in the lower wetland and echo off of the hills. And it's just, you know, we're part of it. And that's all part of home to me, too. And then the land and being able to grow things and my flowers and vegetables and herbs, that all makes this sense of peace and and home for me.
Yeah. This is such a great place. Do you think, is this the first time that you've had that sense of home since you were at East Quogue? Have you felt like that before?
It isn't the first time. It's the most complete. We rented a farmhouse for 10 years.
Where I was born.
Yes. And that was an old farmhouse with lots of problems, but we couldn't really fix them all because we didn't own it. But we loved it, and it had 50 acres that we built trails on. And
how many acres do we have here?
We have 15, and it backs onto 40 acres in one direction and 80 acres in another that is all wild, which is lovely.
80 acres behind the house in the woods or on the other side?
The lower wetland.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then and our neighbor just had the opportunity to buy that 80 acres, and he is just as interested in keeping it open and natural as we are. So that was wonderful. And then the wetland in the back of the house, there's 40 acres in back there that is, again, undeveloped and untouched and just lovely.
If you were an animal, what animal would you be?
Well, I always thought, you know, there was a project that, who played Spock in Star Wars?
Star Trek. Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy did a project, a photography project, where he had people come into his studio dressed as who they really felt they were inside. And he was interviewed on NPR about this project. So it got me thinking about who would I be if I were to dress, what would I dress as if I was going to participate in his project? And it wasn't an animal, it was a tree. And I do feel myself as a tree. And when I'm in the woods, I feel a kinship with trees.
What kind of tree?
Oh, something tall and big, like a big maple. I don't think it would be a shagbark hickory because I see it as being a smooth-sided tree.
Yeah, the shagbark hickory is kind of, I almost feel like it's more masculine as a tree.
Mm, yeah, I do love the smooth-sided trees. Beech is immense, so I might not, but I love the smooth-sided bark.
What about pine trees? I noticed you're not talking about them at all.
No, it wouldn't be pine. It would definitely be a deciduous tree. So a maple might be a good choice because I do. Birch is a little showier than what I would think of myself as. I think it would be maple.
That's awesome. And you could make syrup too. what kind of tree do you think I would be if I was a tree? I've thought about this before too. I never came to a conclusion about it though, I think.
Oh, I think each person has to feel the type of tree inside themselves if they feel that they have this tree-ness inside them.
I don't know. What about animals? Have you ever thought of me as an animal?
Well, that's tough because I used to call you Caribou, but that wasn't because I thought of you as a caribou.
Oh, I never, that never occurred to me either. Josh says sometimes that he I remind him of a deer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. Yes, I used to have a very strong affinity for deer in that respect myself. And
they're very gentle creatures. Mm-hmm. And they sort of, I guess that would be good for you because they have kind of a large range that they go over, which is sort of what you were saying about your sense of home. It's very large. Mm-hmm. It includes more than just like your little your den, if you were an animal, but it includes all over your area. So I was kind of thinking of like a large cat roaming around for you.
Yeah, actually, when I see pictures of lynx, I'm like totally attracted to that animal. And I have actually seen lynx here.
That's really rare.
Is it lynx or bobcat?
I think it would be a bobcat.
I think it was bobcat. Oh, I'd love to see a lynx. But even the bobcats, they're like a small-sized one. And they're so amazing. They hunt in some of the wetland areas here, and they're so secretive about their ways. But once in a while, if you're driving, they'll be crossing the road with a duck in their mouth or something. And they're just one of the most gorgeous animals I've ever seen.
Well, I think you would be a lynx if I had to name an animal for you. But I've always wanted to be a bird. I think an owl, most likely. I know we both love owls. I just think they're so... Well, first of all, flight is something that I've always wished for. And the kind of freedom to lift up off of the ground away from all your problems and just see everything from a perspective way above like that. You don't really get that on a plane. I would love to be a bird. Sometimes I've thought a seagull or a crow, but definitely a bird is what I think I would be.
Yeah, it would be wonderful to be a bird. It's not what I feel is my central core person if I was something other than a human, but I love thinking about that. And sometimes if I'm driving and a hawk is flying, you know, parallel to me and at the same speed, it's just an amazing thing to like kind of mentally transpose yourself across that little distance to where they are and almost participate in their winged flight as long as they're going in the same direction. It gives you a little tiny taste of what it might be like.
Yeah, I love that too. Well, when you think about having me, I know you mentioned at the beginning you guys waited a long time to have kids. What has it taught you being my mom?
Oh, I don't. There's such a world of possibility in what you just asked me.
You can narrow it down if you want.
There's a reservoir of love in each of us that I think is tapped in many ways, but is tapped in a very special way with a child. And for years before I was able to have children, I could feel that reservoir inside myself. And it was a very frustrating thing not to be able to tap it. So it was like a total revelation and such a right feeling to finally be able to have a child and love a child. And even though all parents feel as though they couldn't possibly be prepared enough to take on the responsibility of raising a child and loving a child enough and in the right ways, you do it. And it teaches you to give at times when you think you don't have enough to give or anything left to give, to share time and space with an other person that has maybe a totally different way of looking at things, even though they were raised in your house with you, and to stretch your mind and to try to incorporate that into your life so that you can bridge that distance is really a gift, is really a tremendous gift from your children to you, and it makes you a deeper person.
That's a really beautiful thing that you just said. What do you think you've learned from me, like as a person bridging that gap between us? What do you think? Have I come up with anything that really surprised you that you wouldn't have thought of on your own?
Oh, many times. There's a very strong link I feel between us, especially in many of the things that we love. the plants and the animals and the woods and creative things and making things with our hands and reading. Mm-hmm. There's so many links there. But so many times you would surprise me, even as a little girl, with just your perception of something. And I wrote some of them down. They were so amazing to me. I'm sure parents all do this, but I remember one time you were on our swing set in the house at Dormansville, which was up on a big hill, and there were a lot of birds that would fly past, and it was so much fun to watch the birds. And I remember you singing this little song where you said, "All the birds are miracles that happen in the sky." And it floored me. I was like, that's so wonderful. It's so real and so true. So I've never...
I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all.
Oh, I loved it. And you had a little rhyme. It went, "Bluebird, bluebird, look me in the eye." And I was like, yes, that is so right. That is so good.
Did I make that up?
I think you did. I've never found it anywhere else. And you were just swinging on the swing, making a little swinging song. And it was... one of the great moments of being a parent is seeing that something so beautiful flow out of your child. But I think through you, I have come to appreciate something I never thought that I would, which is your ability to live in a large city, which was such a surprise to me that you would love that.
Surprising to me too. I don't know that I do love it that much. I think I would rather live in a place like this where all the things that I love are around me. It's really difficult being a person that, like you just said, loves everything that you just mentioned that we share together are things that I can't really find very much where I live in Brooklyn, or let alone in Manhattan. So it's sort of a... I feel as though it's sort of a compromise. Like, I live there for my career and for the connections, the friends that I've made, and Josh, and like my social and work life. But in a lot of ways, I do feel kind of unfulfilled in that. Those other things that I love are not around me. I feel sort of incomplete sometimes.
Mm. Well, I wondered if that wasn't true, but I have come so to admire the fact that within that context, you have sought out all the opportunities to find the things you love. And through you, we've come to know the New York Botanical Garden and appreciate what a tremendous place that is. And I never really thought of Central Park as something really special because it's confined. And to us living here with all these acres and acres, it seems like how could that be a really valuable natural place? But it is. It's a tremendous natural place. So within the context of what you've chosen for your career and your social life, you've found those things that can help renew your sense of nature. And that's a term. I just admire you so much for doing that and for keeping true to that, even though you've found a way to work with the urban setting. I don't think I could have done that.
It's been a difficult balancing act. It feels really good to know that you admire me for that, because I sometimes don't know how well I'm managing to do it all, you know? I always feel like my life is a balancing act between what I have to do and what I want to do and all these different spheres that I sort of am a part of. Do you ever feel like that?
Absolutely. And right now, my balancing act is that I'm at the age where I could retire, and except that I need to provide the health insurance for the family. And there are, I feel ready to do another stage of my life. I want to concentrate again on writing, but I want to write not for publication, you know, immediate publication as I did as a journalist, but to write poetry and essays, and not even worry about whether they will ever be published. Just bring them forth because they're in me and they want to be out. And there is a whole life within me that I know is just waiting for me to have time and not have to be working 40 hours a week, that I could begin to express these things. I have interviewed people who have done that, and I've written stories about poets who spent most of their working life up until the time they were 56 or so, 60, as farmers working 24/7 to support their families, and who finally turned the management of the farm over to sons and produced amazing poetry and or art. So I know it's possible, but
you're getting a little impatient.
I'm getting impatient. I want to be able to do that now. And I have several more years to go. So there is a balancing act there too.
Yeah. And by stories, you mean when you were a reporter, right? So these were people that you wrote about for the newspaper?
Yes. I worked in newspapers for 15 years and covered any assignment that I had to do. And a lot of them were the mechanics of small town government and et cetera. But I always found time to do special features on people. And those were the things I loved the best. You know, it's one thing to write about an external focus, which is a person or a place, and another to write what's inside you that may not have that kind of strict form. And I want to explore that now. I want to explore my own thoughts, my own feelings toward things, instead of just...
Just reporting what happened?
It never was just reporting. You, when you interview someone and become part of what they are enough to express it, it's always pulling from your pool of information and your feelings and your senses and your perception of them. But I'd like to kind of cut myself off from that inspiration and let it focus more on my perception of my world.
Right. So we're about to wrap up here. Before we end, is there any advice that you want to give me, like as a, not just as my mom, but as a person who's gone through more life than me? What do you want to tell me?
I just want you to know that it's hard sometimes to give credence to your own inner self, because it may be at odds with things that you have around you or the thing other people are doing different things, so that you might lose your sense of self or the importance of yourself, and just to take the time to renew yourself and feel the strength of what is there inside you, and let your decisions flow from there as much as you can.
Thank you. I just want to say, I know I was away from you for quite a long time this year, but I think it was good for me, because in order to really appreciate coming home, I had to be away for a while, longer than I ever had been before, discovering myself and becoming more of an independent person, I guess. And then this time, this Thanksgiving, I feel like I'm appreciating you guys and home and everything about it, everything that we've been talking about, so much more. And I think that that is partially because I haven't been here for a while and I'm seeing it all with a refreshed eye.
Yes, and I think too that when you as you become more independent, your visits to your parents, us, become more a joy, because there isn't a tug and pull of, wait a minute, I'm losing some of my independence. Yeah. Wait a minute, I'm starting to act like a child again.
Yes.
So the stronger you become, the more joy we can have in our relationship.
Yeah. I'm glad you feel like that. And I hope that it wasn't too hard for you to have me away from you for a long time. I hope that you understand.
Oh, I do. I understand. And I want you to have the time and the opportunity to travel and to experience other places. There's no replacement for that ever. It becomes so much a part of your life. And I know I did that to my own mother. I went away for a year and I worked in Vista in Southern Florida in the migrant belt. And it was a whole revelation, and I would never have wanted not to have experienced that. But now being a parent, I understand that it was hard for her. I didn't come home for Christmas. I didn't come home for Thanksgiving. I didn't see them at all during that year. So I always try to remember that when I know that you're away and you're doing things that are building you as a person and widening your mind and making you into the mature person that you are becoming.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, I'm really glad that we took the time to do this, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. And I love you so much, Mom. It's so great being here and talking and listening with you. I'm just really happy that we had the chance to do it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing, this day of listening, and the fact that you have this little kit here that allows you to record these things. And it does, it creates a time where there is no focus other than to do this. And we don't often have that. We're always doing something together, or we're talking from a distance or emailing. So this is a wonderful opportunity, and I'm really glad that you did this.
Me too. Well, thank you. Thanks, StoryCorps, for giving me this delightful little kit for a couple days. And this has been great. Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Kira.
Love you.
I love you too.